Hey, this is DJ Wet Napkins, and you're listening to 102.1
AFN.
Hey, wait your turn, old man.
It's AFN Guantanamo. AFN Guantanamo Bay, the Eagle.
Go ahead and play the music.
Serving America's best.
DJ Riptide, and you're tuned in to The Eagle.
Good morning, Guantanamo Bay. I am so excited to be here with you all. As usual, it is DJ Riptide, and I have some very special guests for you. Could you go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Commander Johnson coming back again with another episode of The Pulse. Boom, boom. Making sure I have to put in that pull speed in there, otherwise Commander McDermott might would look at me a little off. We are back, like I said, coming from the Naval Hospital. We've got a topic that we're going to cover today, but before we get into that, Commander McDermott's going to be out today. He's taking some much-needed leave, and we are also benefiting from the fact that he is taking some much-needed leave. So we wish him the best as he goes off for the next week or so, getting some time off the island. But without further ado, let me turn it over and introduce or reintroduce Commander Miletich.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's great to be back. So we're here to talk about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. Which is a condition that can be recurrent mood problems as far as either mania or depressed mood that can happen based on either fall, winter, or spring, summer type seasons. And so we'll get more into depth on that in the coming minutes.
I'm super excited to hear about this because I've always wondered about this. So I'm glad we're talking about it and I'm excited to learn. But we'll get into that later.
Thank you.
All right, so we are back and we are here to talk about the season.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to jump into it. Yeah. So SAD is the easiest way to say it. It's a very fitting acronym to it. Seasonal affective disorder. And as Commander Miletich was kind of introducing right before we cut out to the music, it's in a kind of lay version and a term for it. It's kind of a depression or a mood change that's kind of related to the seasons is kind of how I would put it. There's kind of two main seasons where it kind of typically comes up. This topic was introduced to us or requested to us from some of the listeners that wanted to know a little bit more about it, because we're coming into one of those time periods now, that kind of fall to winter time period. The other one is typically that spring to summer time. Can you give us a little bit more kind of gouge as far as kind of what is it? Because I think it's one of those things that some people might experience, and maybe at first they don't even recognize kind of what's going on. Maybe other people might point some things out to them where they're just not quite themselves lately.
Yeah, so it's actually, you know, if you look at it in the wild, you know, animals in the wintertime, they typically are less active. They, you know, hibernate. They go on for long periods of sleep. Humans, we don't get that option. You got to go to work from whatever your normal work hours are. They don't change it based on the winter season. So there's a couple thoughts on what causes it. It's the circadian rhythms can get kind of messed up, where, you know, you're used to basically going waking up when it's light and then going to sleep when it's dark. In the winter, especially at the poles or more closer to the poles, it can be, you know, where it gets light later in the morning and then it gets dark, you know, sometimes around 4 p.m. And so people have to, you know, they basically show up to work when it's dark, go home when it's dark, and then they get their circadian rhythm offset. There's also a theory that light actually stimulates our mood. So if you're not able to be out in the sunlight or have light stimulation of your eyes, that'll actually bring your mood down as well. And so kind of based off of both of those, you know, there's the question is, well, when does it become clinically significant? And it's where if it's causing you to not function up to your minimum standards as far as being able to go to work, take care of your family activities, take care of your daily needs. You know, I would say it's within normal to feel, you know, up kind of a little bit ups and downs, feel a little bit more tired in the winter. That's kind of the normal spectrum that humans will kind of go through. Typically, it gets colder as well. And so, again, look at the animal spectrum in the wild. You know, we're kind of it's in our genes to kind of slow down just a little bit. So I wouldn't necessarily, you know, rush and say, oh my gosh, I'm having significant problems. Just if I'm feeling a little bit off, that's kind of normal. But if you're saying, hey, like I'm just not able to meet my minimum functioning needs, that'd be the time when you want to, you know, seek further help.
That's some really good points that you make in there. I know personally for me, just already with the changes as far as when the sun's kind of setting, it's kind of already down by 5:30, 6 o'clock. I find myself by hitting 7 o'clock or so. My internal clock is trying to tell me that it feels like it's already time for bed, even though it's only 7 or so. And that's kind of already starts to play a little bit. And I think one of the first symptoms that commonly kind of comes up is kind of that kind of pulling away, or we're maybe not quite as engaging in those activities that we typically find to be enjoyable, is a kind of a first line kind of symptoms that we typically experience. Some of those other ones that kind of Commander Miletich was talking about, kind of that low energy, feeling a little bit more sluggish, other kind of things that may be a little bit more subtle at first is kind of changes in our appetite. We might be eating a little bit more than we typically were. Maybe now we're under eating because our mood's kind of getting thrown off. For other people, it may be changes in regards to how they're concentrating, right? They're finding it a little bit harder to kind of stay focused than they typically do. And then some of those hallmark symptoms that we are concerned about, that kind of sense of feeling hopeless, worthless, and sometimes people might even feel some guilt coming from that, particularly as it relates to how they may be typically interacting with other people, and now they're starting to feel guilty because they know they're recognizing that they're being more withdrawn. I think one of the big pieces that Commander Miletich points out is it is definitely a point to be mentioned when it starts actually affecting kind of you just being able to kind of essentially get that momentum to even get out of bed or kind of get into those activities of the day that you need to do, kind of really important aspects of it. We'll kind of turn it back over to here to the DJ, play a little bit more music. When we kind of come back, let's kind of get, we've talked about the signs and symptoms. Now we can kind of start getting into a little bit more of, okay, once we start to recognize it, what can we do about it?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I never knew it got that bad. It's interesting to hear. Yeah, so definitely get checked before, you know. But we'll keep it rolling with the music. All right, we are back to talk more about SAD, and I'm going to turn it over to our lovely guests.
All right, again, yeah, we're talking about that seasonal affective disorder. Some of those symptoms that we kind of mentioned is kind of that feeling down, having a little interest in the activities that you typically do, low energy, feeling sluggish. When we were kind of over the commercial break, we were talking about how for some, we're noticing those symptoms that maybe at the start of the day, we're feeling pretty good. But as we kind of get into those later hours, it's where we start to kind of notice it starts to affect our mood a little bit more. Commander, can you tell us a little bit more? What are some of the things, what are some of the baseline things that we can do? Maybe we're not quite to where we need to come into the clinic, or we feel like we necessarily need to see somebody, but we're noticing that it is affecting our mood a little bit. We quite don't have the pep that we typically do. What are some things that you would recommend that we can do at home to try to help improve some of those symptoms we're experiencing?
Yeah, thanks. I think, yeah, so the main things, if it's more of a subclinical symptoms you're having, I would say one of the main cutoffs would be, are you having any thoughts of self-harm? You know, if you're ever having thoughts of self-harm, seek help immediately. But if you're, you know, again, below that cutoff point and just starting to feel maybe a little bit down, but not really at the point where you feel you need to seek further help, I would recommend starting out with a light box. You can buy them online. They're about $20 to $40, priced a couple over the past couple days. You can get them shipped here. What you want to look for the specs would be 10,000 lux. And you'd want to do about 30 minutes per day. You want to start it in the mornings, kind of right around the time when you wake. There's also another model or other models that you can do where they would start a few hours before you wake up, kind of to simulate the sun rising during normal times, where it kind of gets slowly lighter and lighter, and then it's, you know, somewhat bright by the time that you wake. So either model would work well. And then I'd recommend starting that. It would take probably about 4 weeks or so to start noticing if there's any changes, or to give it a fair trial. So I wouldn't just use it for a couple of days and say, oh, this thing's garbage, it doesn't work. Plan on using it for several weeks. And then, you know, if you do start noticing anything's worsening, you know, then seek further help. But as long as it's, you know, kind of staying the course, I'd recommend trying that light box therapy, about 4 weeks trial. The other ones that you can try, if you're, you know, noticing that they're getting a little bit worse, we can always try meds. So those are the same ones that we would use for major depressive disorder. So like an SSRI, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, would be one of the standard ones. Again, you want to try those for about 4 to 8 weeks, because they take about 1 to 2 months to kick in. And the other one would be psychotherapy, where you could basically work on coping skills, on ways to better manage your mood symptoms. That, again, will take about 4 to 6 weeks. So the take-home message is, regardless of what treatments you want to trial, plan on it not really starting to work that well until about 1 to 2 months. That's kind of the opposite of what patients typically want to hear. They're like, I want the magic bullet. I want something to fix me now. But that's just, we sadly haven't found anything in the mental health sphere that you know, causes immediate changes. But the key is if you're noticing anything that would jeopardize your safety, to seek help immediately, because, you know, we can kind of change things a little bit to, you know, keep you safe, and then work on ways to get you well over the next few weeks.
Terrific. Yeah. So kind of several topics that we hit there. So I'm going to step back and unpack a couple of those things just a little bit more with it. But I think it was a great kind of coverage of some of the different options that we have to kind of help with seasonal affective disorder. The first one that you're kind of mentioning was that light therapy. That's a great first line recommendation that we talk about as far as being helpful with it. And one of those aspects that you were kind of approaching there was that kind of sunrise or sunset theory, as far as kind of having that light on for about 30 minutes, doing that in the morning time, and then doing it again kind of in that afternoon, evening time. One of the things that I like to kind of tie in there too, and this plays a role when I was kind of talking about before, about how our internal clock, that circadian rhythm that we're talking about, gets shifted a little bit because of the changes in when the sunrise is coming and when that sunset's hitting with it. With that change to it, kind of throws off our internal clocks, makes us kind of think when bedtime should be and stuff like that is different. So one of the things I like to mention, and it's important all the time, but also important when we're talking about here, is that sleep hygiene kind of measures that we're doing with it. So kind of establishing that consistent routine that we're doing, right? Some of that starts before we even get to bed. So What are we doing in those couple hours right before it's kind of time for bedtime? Do we have a typical bedtime routine that we do? And that might be things like changing into our pajamas, brushing our teeth, maybe shutting the TV off or those electronics off, dimming some of the lights a little bit, kind of putting ourselves into that mood and that preparation to go to sleep, right? For some, jeopardizing the temperature of the room down a couple degrees can be very helpful and kind of helping set that kind of tone to go to sleep, and then keeping a consistent schedule, which is the other really important thing. So one of the things that people tend to bring up all the time in primary care is, that's great, doc, you talk all the time about how important sleep is. Look, I have got three screaming children at home. I have got work to do. I am taking classes. There is no way I am ever going to get 8 hours of sleep every day. Well, the next thing I kind of talked to him is about, okay, within the confines of what you do have, can you get that schedule of your sleep a little bit better and keep that schedule consistent throughout there? So going to bed around the same time, getting up at the same time, that's not just important for you, that's important for your family as well. So sleep hygiene measures is one of those things I like to kind of bring up and talk about. I think it's important. I think it's helpful when we're talking about seasonal affective disorder. Combining that along with some of that light therapy can also be very helpful. Another common thing, and we don't think about it here, especially because it is always so sunny out here, we're in the Caribbean, kind of soaking up the island vibes, but we also tend to put on sunblock. We tend to kind of avoid some of those hotter parts of the day. So sometimes one of the things that may be low for us is our vitamin D. Vitamin D can also affect our mood for some folks. I know it's personally kind of gotten me. It's one of those things where I was like, and I don't have the pep that I usually do. I wonder if it's my vitamin D. And sure enough, it was. And when I started replacing that, it kind of went back up. So a couple items there. I think we'll cut it to a break here. And then when we come back, I want to dive into a little bit more about some of those medications that are available to kind of help with depressed mood, seasonal affective disorder, that sort of thing.
All right. We're going to keep rolling with the hits.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt. I wear this crown of thorns upon my liar's chair, full of broken thoughts I cannot repair. Beneath the stains of time, the feelings disappear. You are someone else, I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. and you could have it all. My empire of dirt, I will let you down. I will make you hurt. If I could start again, a million miles away, I would keep myself. I would find a way.
All right, we are back, and once again, I'm going to turn it over to our guests here.
So, again, we're coming back into this again. We've been talking about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. We kind of ran through some of the symptoms that are pretty common with there. We kind of hit some of the theories in regards to what kind of causes it. And before then, we were talking about some of the non-pharmacologic options that we can kind of do to help treat the symptoms of that seasonal affective disorder. One of the things that we kind of touched on a little bit earlier and wanted to go into a little bit more was, okay, we've tried some of these other things. Now it's kind of time to make that appointment and kind of come in and see the provider and see about maybe getting some medication that might help out or see what other options are available to it. One of the things that you mentioned was kind of selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, or SSRIs. And that plays in some of the theory in regards that we think that kind of causes some of the seasonal affective disorders, kind of that drop in serotonin levels that changes our mood aspect. SSRIs are a common medication that we will typically use within the kind of the behavioral health world. And one of the things I wanted to approach first before we kind of get into the medication is the stigma that kind of comes behind there. One of the first things I typically do in primary care when somebody comes in and they're actually presenting to talk about how they feel is I thank them for actually even coming, because I know that for most people, just the aspect of getting into that appointment and having the courage to kind of come and say, hey, I think I need some help. I'm definitely not myself right now. That takes a lot to do. It takes a lot to schedule that appointment. It takes even more to kind of follow up and come in for that appointment. So again, I just wanted to encourage people, please take that step. If you notice that you're just not yourself, come to us, at least have that conversation. Let's talk about some options that exist. That stigma that kind of falls behind mental health is a very common one, and it's one that I think is slowly kind of removing the bricks of barrier that comes into place, and people are more and more coming in, which I think is a great thing. That being said, coming into that aspect of medication, I think it's the other kind of aspect a lot of people kind of talk about. I don't really want to do medications. I don't want to be on medications for a long time. Commander, can you tell me a little bit more about maybe some of the benefits that we might find when starting a medication, such as like an SSRI?
Yeah, thanks. So when people come in with mental health symptoms, I typically tell them that, you know, rather than just jumping merely to meds, because we sometimes see on the TV that, you know, again, we want the magic pill that's just going to make us feel better. We want to make sure that we are targeting the right symptoms with the right treatment. And so I tell them that, you know, there's three main spheres on why people have mental health symptoms. There's biological reasons. So if there's like a chemical imbalance in the brain or the body, and that's what we typically use meds for. There's psychological issues where it's a difficulty. Maybe they haven't grown up learning the best coping skills or the best way to think through problems. And then social problems, meaning the environment that they work in, their family issues. There might be other stressors such as money issues, significant other issues. And so we typically, in a way, sometimes from a medical community or a mental health community, even sometimes we kind of say, we'll try meds first for the psychological and the social issues. That's not really going to fix it, though, because, again, the medications are used if there's a chemical imbalance in the brain or body. And so that's why we want to be able to evaluate, you know, what is their kind of biological factors. Do they have any medical issues, any chronic medical problems, chronic pain? What is their current circumstances as far as their family situation, their work situation? Are there certain stressors they've been dealing with? And then we would target to say, okay, based on all of this, it looks like there might be a chemical imbalance. We'd want to try meds for that. Or it looks like there's more social issues, or maybe you just haven't grown up with the best coping skills. We would do psychotherapy for that. Or we'd try some practical problem solving. And so for SAD, you know, if it's a seasonal type issue where they're noticing some mood problems, we then again back it up and say, well, is it actually SAD? Is it where it's caused by sunlight issues or time of year issues? Or maybe are there some functional issues that are just happening in the wintertime? You know, sometimes with the different fiscal year issues, we can have kind of higher op tempos. And we'd want to back it up and say, well, of those three spheres I mentioned, what does the problem actually look like it is? If it is like a chemical imbalance issue and we want to try meds, the SSRIs that we were talking about, so some common ones you might have seen on TV, Zoloft, Prozac, Paxil, we would want to, you know, again, those various ones, they all kind of have pros and cons on kind of what things that they can activate or kind of turn down a little bit. You'd want to talk to either somebody in primary care or mental health to be able to figure out which one of those would be best for your specific problems. But we'd want to try meds for, again, plan on it not kicking in for about 3 to 4, sometimes up to 8 or longer weeks. That's kind of a common issue that, you know, people say, yeah, I just want to start feeling better now. And that's why I would say, okay, we'll start the meds. We want to follow you closely. So especially in the mental health clinic, you know, when we first start somebody on meds, we typically will start them and then we'll see them again in a couple of weeks to make sure things are still tracking okay. And then we're always available if they want to be seen sooner, you know, just to kind of do that check-in to make sure that things are tracking well. And if they aren't, we'll look at, well, what other options can we potentially do? Other things that we can look at from more of a complementary treatment standpoint, acupuncture that can stimulate your body's nervous system to kind of get that balance back as well. We offer that in the mental health clinic. There's some further advanced treatments that we can offer for people that, you know, if the standard treatments aren't working, and, you know, I'd be happy if people want to make an appointment, we can talk about those as well. The key though is from a patient perspective, I really strongly advocate for patients to, rather than coming in thinking I just want to be started on some sort of med, really it's kind of have an open mind, share all the issues that are going on, and then work with your doctor to figure out, okay, what's the best treatment based on your specific symptoms and the specific problems. Sometimes the meds are actually not the right treatment. They can potentially make your problems worse.
Okay, some great things that you kind of brought in there. One of the things that I like that you brought on, when we were kind of covering kind of seasonal affective disorder, we were kind of mostly focusing about kind of that shift and change in circadian rhythm, or that drop in kind of that serotonin. There's also the social factors that you talked about that kind of comes in with this, typically in this kind of time period. So for some people, right, money's already a little tight. We're coming into a season that typically is very expensive. It also kind of tends to be a time where either we are engaging with maybe family and friends and stuff like that that aren't always necessarily in the greatest like position as far as where we are. And or, right, you kind of see this kind of company scene where you do want to be with family members. Isn't this happens a lot within the military, especially, is we really do want to be around some of that family, and we just can't. The mission tempo or something like that's affecting our abilities to. So social factors that can kind of certainly play a role in there, increases that stress for us. Sometimes some of those social stressors that we kind of mentioned about, like I said, being around some of that family and stuff like that again, also brings out some of those other kind of psychological kind of aspects that we maybe typically have not had to necessarily deal with quite the intensity that we were before, but now we are, and that's brought out there. So some of the things that Commander Miletich mentioned, one of those is kind of getting in with a behavioral health therapist. So having kind of some structured meetings. And what I talk about is this is a great opportunity for you to kind of work through some of those feelings that you're having with somebody that knows how to navigate it, and also isn't necessarily that friend or that family member that maybe you don't, right, that you kind of typically kind of unload on, or maybe you just don't want to unload on. This is somebody that's been trained and can kind of work with you. They have all the latest tools and stuff like that to help with it. One of those things that kind of Commander Miletich mentioned was having some coping skills that come with that. And I kind of, the way I kind of chalk it up is we're throwing tools in the toolbox for people. And, you know, you might not need that wrench or that screwdriver all the time, but it's nice to have it in there when you need it and you can kind of pull it out and apply it. And that's where some of those things that we kind of mentioned before, that cognitive behavioral therapy is one of those kind of tools we do. We'll kind of cover some apps and stuff like that if we've got some time here at the end that I think is pretty helpful. I will put a quick plug in to say that check out the VA Veterans Affairs app, and it's kind of the app that also has some apps and recommendations in there that kind of can focus and address a lot of that One other kind of thing that I want to kind of piggyback on a little bit in regards to SSRIs, and we'll cut to another music break here, is what Commander Miletich kind of mentioned about. For some people, medication is the right option. It does not mean that they necessarily have to be on the medication forever. It may be a period of time that's going to help them with it. Sometimes that's to help build that toolbox up, get those coping skills together, right? Throw the wrenches and the screwdrivers and all that sort of stuff so that you have those. And then we can kind of come off of those medications. That said, if you are one of those people that does need to continue to be on medication, that by no means means that that's a failure, right? Some people, again, we have some of those kind of those other things that are playing a role in there, and medication really is helpful for them, and they should continue to be on that medication. The other thing that I wanted to kind of hallmark on is to say, when we talk about these medications, I approach it to say we're kind of looking at it as a marathon, not a sprint. We're trying to treat something on a much longer playing field with it. It's daily medication that you take. It takes some time to build in there. There's some good aspects of that, right? We don't want to slam you with medication right away. We want that medication to have the opportunity to take effect. It takes some time to build up a little bit and start helping us. That's why it may take 8 to 12 weeks. But in 8 to 12 weeks, if you're feeling much better than you were before, most people would say that they like now where they're feeling. So it's kind of that push to say, trust that the medication is going to work. We just need to give it some time. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll turn it back over to Commander real quick, see if there's any kind of last comments before we go into our next music break.
No, I think you summed up really well. Yeah, just the touch points on a previous session that you mentioned, sleep cycles is going to be very critical. One of the things that we see in the mental health clinic, and I think the primary care probably sees it as well, is it's important to maintain those sleep cycles 7 days a week. You know, our brains don't realize that we're on work days versus weekends. And if you stay up, you know, till a certain amount of time, 10 p.m., say, for example, on weekdays, and then 1 in the morning on weekends, it's going to get us mixed up and we're not going to be able to get on that sleep cycle. So it's just critical to do 7 days a week for that. And then, yeah, with as far as meds, you know, just like any other supplements that various people need for various other medical problems, I would say some of these psychiatric meds, they're just a supplement in many ways. They balance out that chemistry that maybe some people's bodies just don't make. And so just like others with their blood sugars, for example, they need to take meds to kind of balance that out. You shouldn't feel bad if you need to take medications for that longer term. But when you come to our mental health clinic, our goal is, you know, for you to be on the least amount of meds for the shortest amount of time possible. But if we do recommend that, hey, you know, after we've tried this, it looks like maybe we need to be in this more for that long-term period, you know, work with us to kind of trial that and see how you feel. And then, again, there's no shame in staying on the psychiatric meds for that longer term.
I appreciate that. DJ Riptide, we'll turn it back over to you. Thanks.
Sounds good. I'm going to do my usual and, you know, keep it rolling with the hits. All right, we are back, and I believe you guys have some resources for us to go over.
We do. We're coming into the top part of the hour here, so about ready to kind of wrap up our session here today of the Pulse. Boom, boom. And Commander Miletich, you've got kind of a pathway or a road kind of map as far as behavioral health. Can you kind of go into that for us a little bit?
Yeah, thanks. So yeah, we have a mental health roadmap that we'll give out to patients when they come in, and it's kind of the available places that they can seek for help while they're on the base here. And it's kind of step 1 through 5, and it's meant to be, you know, patients, it's kind of the easiest way to be seen versus some of the more, I guess, further steps they have to do. So we recommend to start with step 1 and go down to step 5. So step 1 is chaplains. I always strongly encourage patients to see chaplains. They're both for faith-based as well as non-faith problems. That's a common misconception that I'll hear from patients a lot. It's like, oh, I don't really have, you know, a faith. I don't necessarily think chaplains would be a right fit for me. But what I tell people is, you know, when I give speaking engagements as well, is that, you know, chaplains, they were kind of the first mental health for the armed forces. You know, they're there to work on coping skills. They've kind of seen every problem out there. And they're great for faith-based issues, which I think a lot of people are, you know, suffering from, is, you know, they can be far from their church or far from their family. Maybe they haven't gone to church and they grew up like that. We see a lot of that in patients coming in, you know, they may be having some faith-based problems. They just maybe didn't realize it. But they're also great if you don't want to talk about faith issues. They're just a very great person that can listen, can, so, you know, offer ways to help. And the really one of the best things with chaplains that a lot of people, one of the stigmas for seeking mental health care is like, well, I don't know if it'll go on my record. I don't want people to know about this. Will this affect my duty status or my clearances? So of all these help sources that I'll be talking about, chaplains are the only ones where everything is 100% private unless you want them to tell somebody further. So that's one thing that, you know, if you're worried about a stigma or worried that somehow somebody else is going to find out, chaplains are a great place to start. Next, fleet and family. So they're off of the standard military record system. So they're a great place where you can get further help. They can't necessarily give meds here, but they can work with you on coping skills, which I would say from my experience and based on our patient population, a lot of the issues are mainly those coping skills or different social factors. Because we have to screen everybody, especially our active duty, a lot of people don't necessarily have that biological issue or they need meds. Fleet and Family is a great first stop to work on those coping skills or practical problem solving. Next is Military One Source. So they're great for people who want that flexibility to be able to call in and work with somebody on coping skills. They don't have to actually go into a physical building. And you're offered like a 10 to 12 visits free. So that'd be great to be able to, you know, talk with people further. You don't have to necessarily leave your phone. The fourth stop is primary care. So a lot of the, you know, mental health issues that we've talked about, especially with SAD, is, you know, it'd be a great first stop where they can offer you all the same treatments that we would offer in the mental health clinic, at least to start and to trial. And then if things don't necessarily track according to plan, by all means, you can always come by us, which is the fifth stop on that roadmap, the mental health clinic, second deck of the medical center. And you can also skip directly to us to step 5. If you ever say, you know what, I feel like I've been suffering with problems too long, I don't want to try any of the other steps, our door is always open. We can usually get people in within just a couple of days. If it's an urgent issue, we'll be happy to triage you right then and there and be able to work on ways, you know, do we need to see you right then, or can we kind of push things off for a day, get everything set up, get you to take some surveys so we can better find out what the root cause problems are. The main take home point is again, like I mentioned earlier in the hour, is if you're noticing that you're having any safety issues, if you feel that you're not safe around either yourself or not safe around others, not able to care for the people who need your care because of whatever mental health symptoms you're experiencing, please seek help immediately. We have the ER, which is available 24/7. Myself and my colleague who cover mental health, we are on call 24/7 as well, and we can talk with you if there's any urgent issues that pop up. Otherwise, like I mentioned, we can get you into the clinic within a couple of days, or we'll triage you that same day and figure out what the best plan is.
Well, I appreciate that. And we kind of illustrated that as a roadmap to get to some resources. But all those resources are available. It doesn't necessarily have to fall exactly in that order. So again, I want to encourage that. Multiple different avenues as far as how you can kind of reach out if you're noticing that you're having some changes in your mood and or kind of your typical activities of daily living. The last little resource that I want to kind of touch base with you, I'll kind of give you the website here where you can find it. Again, I talk about it being the app that's within the app, and that is the VA.gov. The full website for that is www.ptsd.va.gov/mobile. In there, you're going to find several different mobile and web resource apps that exist. You can kind of find the one that works for you. These are all free apps that are available to anyone. So just access that website. Again, www.ptsd.va.gov/mobile. Find the app that's right for you. And I think that's, we're bringing up towards the top of the hour. Is that right?
Yeah, just about. We have a few more minutes, so I just wanted to let you guys know that we appreciate you and all of the hard work that you guys put in. I've had a great experience so far every time I head over to medical, so I appreciate that from you guys. And yeah, as far as the audience, that'll be all for me today. But don't worry, in the afternoon we'll have DJ Genesis come in to talk to you all and update you on all of your weather, your movies, and your MWR needs.
Party girls, don't get hurt, can't feel anything. When will I learn? I push it down, push it down. I'm the one for a good time call, phone's blowing up. Ring on my doorbell, I feel the love. Feel the love. 1, 2, 3, 4.